Om Shanti. Good afternoon. And what I'd like to do is maybe for you, I will speak, but maybe you would like to have some questions, you know, some clarifications on some of the things that Baba was saying. So it would be better if you're closer to the front. It's all empty here on the sister's side in the front. Here also the brother's side is empty. So Baba, you know, in his mulya was all about how to move forward. So he gave us the blueprint, the plan of how we can move forward. And what was the basis of moving forward? The basis of moving forward is actually self-respect. And the basis of increasing self-respect was the power of the mind. He said, he emphasized two things for service, mind and face. Remember, he said, the times of distress are going to be so high that what's going to do the service is your face. But if the mind is not okay, if I'm not the sovereign of my mind, then I'm not able to, you know, certainly use my face for service. It'll show. But also those five forms that he told us about to practice daily, to put it in our timetable. He said it's all done through the mind. And this is why at the beginning of the Muli, he spoke a lot about the mind. Who is the master? You or your mind? He said, you don't say, I mind. You say, my mind. And he spoke of the three subtle horses. He didn't call them horses, but I'm saying it now. Mind, intellect, sanskars. And I, the soul, the charioteer, have to be able to hold the reins of those three. How are they working? Are they following my directions? Or are they following their own directions? But he particularly emphasized the mind. And then through these three, we are then very easily able to master the horses of the senses, the five senses. But they work as a team. Eight horses in that team. Teamwork. And they get very good at teamwork. But if I, the charioteer, am not the master of that team, they're going to do what they like. And when I'm not the master, the main way that I see it is fluctuation and lack of deep experience. And Baba emphasized that if there's not deep experience, then there will not be the self-respect. And so Baba opened the Muli with this very clear invitation, very clear idea of you are the most elevated souls in this small family, the king children. And then he went on to the number one horse that gives us lots of problems, the mind. And then actually the Muli was based on two things. It was some visualization and experience. He used that word, visualize. Can you visualize this? It's like spinning the discus of eternity. I, the soul, feeling my eternity, feeling past, present, future as one. In the moment, actually even in the second, I am able to experience my eternity. And in that experience, it's very clear who I am. And when it is very clear who I am in terms of eternity, then the self-respect that is created through that experience certainly makes the soul unshakable, unbreakable, immovable. Am I? Unshakable, unbreakable, immovable? During the Muli, yes. And after? After? Somebody says something comes up. And that's the time I need to practice. And the biggest practice is really, you know, stabilizing in that stage of I, the soul. So let's see what Baba said about all the stages. So first he said, do you have the intoxication and the self-respect of your eternal form? So he spoke to us about our original purity, that state of being complete, beyond needs, whole, just this being, this unique being, this unique seed. And you know what I felt when listening to it and then reading it was that actually there has to be a sense of I without ego. Because sometimes people think that I always means ego, but I the soul and the individuality of I the soul brings self-respect, not ego. Because in ego you are demanding. In ego you expect things. In ego you need to be appreciated. In ego you need compliments. But when I have the eye of my spiritual reality, of my spiritual identity, I'm complete. I know who I am. Like Baba, you know, Baba knows who he is. We don't have to praise him as God in order to him feel that he is God, huh? Don't have to. Don't have to pray to him so he feels that, yes, I'm the center of the universe. He doesn't have these needs for confirmation from any living being. I know it's a very high level of consciousness, but Baba spoke in the Muli about elevated consciousness, the seat of elevated consciousness. He mentioned that 4 or 5 times, elevated consciousness. What is it? Well, it's all of the things that Baba told us to go through, but it begins with my original self, I, the soul. And the reason that we lose this power, that we lose this natural self-respect, is that we don't keep churning I, the soul. We don't go, if I don't go deeper into understanding, and Daddy Janki mentioned this, if you don't go deep into understanding, it will not go into the dana and the yoga. And so I may say I'm a soul, I may say I'm Shanti, but, you know, it has become superficial. I can say anything, you know, in Mickey Mouse, you know, Donald Duck, it won't make much difference. But when there's that deep appreciation of the self, and the soul really goes into this awareness of I, the soul, in the home. And Baba said, the sparkling star next to the Father, the one who is eternally sparkling. Baba says, that's who you belong to. You remember? Remember? You belong up there. You belong to yourself. And you belong to me. That's... And you know, we're now on the return journey there. So Baba tried to, you know, reawaken our remembrance. But you know, it's up to, the point is, it's up to me to keep it awake. What Baba was saying also in the Muli was that we get over involved in karma, over involved in actions, and then we forget. We know, but we forget. Strange, isn't it? Don't you think it's strange? I know, but I forget what I know. And I choose another identity. I choose another way of being. So Baba has to keep reminding. So he was saying, elevated consciousness. And keep revising this. As much as we revise and have the experience in traffic control, so to have the experience of these forms of my eternal self through time. It's my journey through time. You feel very complete that you know yourself, you know. I mean, don't you feel very grateful, you know, that, you know, when Baba says the deep secrets of history, the deep secrets of where you are, what you are, who you are, it brings a great release. I have found my roots. I have found what I belong to and how I belong. Very, very beautiful gift from God to the soul to know, to understand. But I've got to keep it awake. It's like a flower. It's growing. It's lovely. But you've got to keep it alive. You've got to keep watering it and checking for insects. It's the same. So that first introduction to my eternity and to the pure sense of I, which is free from neediness. And then Bob says, and go further, move on. Come from eternity into the world of time, where you play your part as actors. You know, in the Copper Age, we were very preoccupied with why and how. What? Looking for the truth, looking for purpose. The Gold and Silver Age, there are not these questions. Because purpose, for example, is automatically fulfilled, because the soul, what does the soul do? What is our purpose, if we speak of it in that way? It's to express what we are. And to enjoy that expression, and to enjoy the expression of others, and the interchange of those different expressions create the play. Now, of course, there's big conflicts with expressions, because people are dominated by their vices, and so they demand rights, they demand this, they want to be recognized in that and this. But there the expression is pure. And so Baba spoke of our deity form, the state of natural humanity, you know, being the true and natural human being, soul conscious within matter. And matter, he said, nature, satul pradhan, very pure. What did he say? He said, no trace of sorrow. Can I go back to that sanskar? When we do this drill, I was thinking, you know, to emerge that sanskar, and that's the inheritance. No trace of sorrow. Sorrow, you know, can be different things. It's not just pain. Neediness, isolation, dependency, fear, all these things are sorrow. Not a trace. Good time, eh? That is elevated consciousness. And it's very real. It's not just a fairy tale. Because sometimes, you know, Brahmins end up a lot in struggling with effort, you know, and forget to experience the inheritance. That is, forget to experience the whole point of the confluence. Because Baba sometimes uses the word intense effort. He says, don't be an effort maker, be an intense effort maker. What's the difference? How can you tell if somebody's an effort maker and somebody's an intense effort maker? An effort maker will show that they're making effort. You know, the strain and the struggle on their face, the little complaints about the self, or, you know, I had enough of this, let's wait for next kalpa, or something, you know, all kinds of things. An effort maker looks like they are warriors, you know, they look like it. Intense effort maker, you see always the result. You don't see the process, you see the result. That is, they're paying deep attention to the best in themselves. They're paying deep attention to the original in themselves. And they experience it. So that whatever germs may come, whatever obstacles may come to distract, they can't penetrate an intense effort maker. The mind is strong, the intellect is strong, and it's able to emerge its original sanskars, rather than be influenced by the artificial sanskaras of the vices. So, intense effort maker. Yeah, you see. And then Baba spoke of the Copper Age, and to remember how you are remembered and why you're remembered. Virtues. Do you remember how you're remembered? And then he says, no actor, no politician, no one can have this. And I was thinking, actually, it's like celebrity, you know? Gods and goddesses, you know, have celebrity status in a way. But now celebrity has a whole nother meaning. It's totally body conscious. But the authenticity, the truthfulness, the genuineness, the purity of souls who really had that, and their behavior was that they are remembered on the path of bhakti. And so Baba says, you remember that? It doesn't have to be a specific one, you know, an angel. Remember how you're remembered as an angel, why you're remembered as an angel. For example, when souls do see angels, automatically they think of God and they automatically feel hope and protection. That's one. I mean, there may be others. And then Baba said, now Sangam Yug. Sangam Yug is becoming a direct student of God. But Baba made a very, very deep statement about Sangam Yug, and he said, God himself, the master himself, fills all of you with the speciality of purity. The speciality of purity. Think about it. I was thinking about this, you know, a few thousand years of so much accumulated rust, you know, that selfishness and violence and that deception that comes from, you know, trying to be someone, trying to exist, trying to affirm oneself, but all in the wrong way. Such dependencies. So all this impurity creates so much alienation. Why, you know, most people complain. They don't feel they belong. They don't feel they have value. They don't have self-respect. They feel lonely. All this is impurity. So Baba says, the Master himself, God himself, fills you with that speciality of purity. And purity is basically freedom from those self-deceptions that keep sabotaging my happiness. Because then Baba said, purity is the basis of happiness. So such a very special gift that to know what purity is, because sometimes we didn't know exactly what it meant. And actually the cooperation of the one who remains always pure and true to himself, and then that one is able to give the soul the current to wake up and to re-experience something very, very real within itself. And with each of this Baba stay, remember he stayed a few seconds, visualize this. But God was saying, understand it, visualize it in the sense of, not so much, I don't think he meant to see it, he said feel it, feel this. And again, we can only feel these realities if we can be still, can be silent, concentrated. And so Baba bringing this whole picture of my eternity into my awareness. And then he was speaking about Amrit Vela. He goes around and sees all the children. And he says, yes, they have love. There is love. There is yoga. But now, for the sake of the self and this for the sake of service, has to be volcanic yoga. Very, very deep, deep, deep experience. Because that experience then creates the enthusiasm to move on. Because we know without enthusiasm we won't move on. We'll always be concentrating, this is wrong, this is not quite right, this is, I have to do more, I have to go. We're looking at the gap and not appreciating certain results that we do get through our effort and through yoga. But of course Baba says to increase it. And he used the word lost. Be lost in that experience. That is like absorbed deeply. And then when the soul is absorbed deeply in that experience, then Baba said even the walking and the talking will be different and people will notice. And then he went on to speak about how the face will do the special service. And he talked about becoming complete. Huh? And what did he say? He says, when you become complete, the gates will open. And the advanced party don't have to keep saying, when are they going to be ready? When are they going to be ready? And this thing of complete. But complete, if I spin these forms and go back to the original, then I will start to feel and I'll start to experience my completeness. And on the basis of that completeness, and then service is done automatically and naturally. And Baba was saying that the volcanic yoga is serving the self. And didn't he say something very interesting? He said, you kill the sanskars, but you don't burn them. Just silence. We can try the five forms. So I was saying that through volcanic yoga, those bad sanskaras that keep emerging and pulling us down will be burnt away. Ashes. Because if you just kill them and don't burn them, what happens? Ghosts. Ghosts usually frighten people. And they sometimes frighten us, don't they? We thought we finished a bad habit or a pattern, and then after some time, pop, it pops up. And you get frightened. I didn't know I had that still. I thought it had gone. So the ghosts come up and haunt us, frighten us. And so Baba said, cremate them. Make them completely disappear, completely. But again, for that to happen practically, it's nice as an idea and a theory, but practically how it is done. He told us, practically, he said, you know, keep the self awake during the day. Don't forget, it's not enough at Amrit Vela. I need to keep awake and practice during the day. That's actually the method that he was giving us, was keep practicing, and to practice with attention, not as a routine. Because this is the problem sometimes with knowledge. Knowledge can slip into routine. Only if there's a dana of that knowledge will it never become routine. And very good things become routine. And so this is why sometimes souls keep going around in the same circles, because they think they're using knowledge, but actually they're not. And in the only way that I can really use knowledge, so it shifts my consciousness, so that there is an elevated consciousness. You know, it's just that really all it is from this soul's experience is just deep attention. Pay deep attention and deeply respect the knowledge as a method for personal liberation and for personal fulfillment. That's what knowledge is. Knowledge is not teachings as such. I mean, it is, but ultimately what it really is, knowledge is, it gives me the path, it gives me the bridge to a personal liberation and personal fulfillment through pure relationship with God, with self, and with others. And so the volcanic yoga burns away. But the soul has to surrender. The soul has to become really aware and offer them. And this is why the charioteer has to watch the mind, intellect, and sanskars. Because the sanskaras are constantly throwing patterns into the mind. The habits are recorded in the sanskaras. And if there's not the volcanic yoga, some of those sanskaras are for centuries, you know. I mean, they're not... You think about it. Centuries. Centuries of particular sanskaras. We're very unrealistic if we think they will go away just when we say Om Shanti 5 times and think they'll go away. I meet Baba 20 times and I think the sanskars go away. No, it doesn't happen like that. Unfortunately, maybe, but it doesn't. We're good if it did. But actually what is required is a continuous connection. A continuous flow. And that's a living relationship. You know, a dead relationship is you have a good time with one, a person, then they're not around, or you just live off memories. You know, in bhakti, we live off memories. Good memories, but they're memories. Now is not a time of memory. Confluence age is not a time of memory. It's not a time of bhakti. But sometimes we may make these Om Shanti, Man Man Bhav, we may make them a kind of bhakti thing because we're not living them. It has to flow. A living relationship has to flow. There has to be daily contact. daily experience, not once in a while. And so for the self, huh? And then Baba said in the volcanic yoga, as you get rid of all these things, then you'll be the form of light and might, the embodiment. Embodiment means awareness. Awareness means feeling. I feel light. I feel power. And when a soul feels power, it feels nothing can interfere in its existence in a negative way. Nothing can pull the soul down. And it always is feeling benevolence towards everyone. It will have that feeling of benevolence. Why? And it will keep benevolence. Why? How can we keep benevolence even with people who are not, you know, that sweet sometimes? You know? I don't rely on them. I don't rely on their sweetness to make me happy. I don't rely on this or that to help me exist. Then I can have constant benevolence. That's what it means, the first one, original purity, original form. I'm self-reliant. Not egoistic and shut off. I'm self-reliant, but in that pure self-reliance, I'm also very open. God is very open. Angels are very open. But they're not affected because they don't rely. That science scar of relying, depending, is very deep. This is probably the biggest ghost of burnout. Every time I complain, I'm relying on something somewhere. Every time I criticize, every time I feel bad, if it's something, somewhere, I'm stuck. Some kind of dependence. I may not know what it is consciously, but I do know what I have to do. Though I may not know exactly what it is, all I know that I have to remember. Remember my original complete self, go back to it, and go back to my Father. That makes things move. And so the embodiment of light and might and being able to help, Baba is very concerned about the whole human family. He's very concerned. And he says, you know, when you change deeply, then their sorrow will start to disappear because you can give them rays of light and might and hope and many things. So, you know, when we have others in mind and the welfare of others, that motivates our transformation more. If I'm very self-centered and I just want to get my peace, some people are too caught up in themselves, you know, like who I am, but in a very egoistic way, or me, and I feel good and I feel peaceful and I feel purposeful and I feel... Yes, we need that, but if it's too over-concentrated on the self, then we forget about our bigger purposes, which to serve as our human family. Humanity is our family. That's why angels are remembered by everybody. Prophets also not remembered by everybody, just by a branch. Angels are remembered by everybody, like God is remembered by everyone. And so what makes us have this cremation yoga, this volcanic yoga, one of the things is also to fulfill the Father's hope for our brothers and sisters. If I'm just concerned with my little self, my heart will not be that big. I move away, you know, like some souls, you know, they want always their space, they want always this, they want, yeah, it's good to have, but sometimes you can't. If I get too self-centered, I get isolated. Mahadani, the great bestower, the generous-hearted one. Someone who's generous always is well-motivated because they're concerned with the welfare of others. Baba is concerned with our welfare. He's okay. Huh? Himself is okay. Being God, complete, pure, blissful, he's okay. But he comes to serve because of great love. And Daddy was saying, I don't know if you were there in the class in the morning, but she was saying, you know, the family doesn't need teachings. Remember? The family needs love. And so the souls of the world too, they need love. Good feeling, acceptance. And that, when they have that, then they can take some. But teachings not as a rule or as a, you know, a dogma, but a method to which they can elevate themselves and become independent. In that sense, teachings for others. So, volcanoes all over the place. Because eh? Everybody's talking about 2012 and everyone's asking what's going to happen. I always say, I really don't know. I have no idea. All I know is I have to do a bit more to get more ready. This I know. This I'm sure of. Anything else? I don't know. Don't know. And so Baba crowns us. Baba wants to see others crowned. Baba wants to see all souls. All souls receive something. Whatever it may be, but they should all receive something that they carry with them for eternity. Whether they come as bhagats, whether they come as subjects, whether they come, wherever they come. Whether they come as Christians, whether they come as Buddhists. Baba wants to see everyone take something. But then he did mention heirs, quality souls. You know, when he spoke to the wings, he always says, brings up this air quality souls. See, according to the power, spiritual power with which I serve, also such souls will emerge. And an air soul is one who can stand on their own feet. You know, an air soul will do things. We'll see, for example, other types of souls, they need to feel good. They are part of the family, but you know, they always need to be given something to feel good, to feel this, which is okay, that's fine. And Baba says always it's very good. But he says an air soul is, they can be servers. They have that power. They have that sort of independence in them. Because they can make their own relationship with God. They can recognize Baba. And one can do the work of thousands. And Baba said they're still around. There are still around. There are souls like this still. It's good, eh? Isn't it? It's very good. So, these are some of the thoughts that came from Baba's Muli. So we have 10 minutes. If you would like to ask anything, a clarification of anything, or what Baba was saying, or of course he has said this before, we know it's not new, but like he was really taking us, wasn't he? Like a guided meditation, wasn't it? He went through it and then he said, do you visualize it? He's like saying, visualize it, experience it. Then he went to the next one. He was guiding it. So he was going to the depth of those sanskars. So the original state, the eternal state together with the Father, then the deity, the golden time, the age of truth, then the worship worthy, the celebrity status. Not really, that's not a good word to use. you know, yeah, the bhakti form. And then back. And then he said, I like the way he said, it's now return journey. It's like Baba's put the whole drama, the whole, he's put eternity into my intellect and spun it, eh? And I'd be able to see it. And it's like all the pieces of the jigsaw puzzle, all the pieces of the kaleidoscope, all come together, and I know now. Yeah? And so the curtain is closing, the play is ending. Understand all this, know why certain things are happening, serve. It's time to return. We actors have to return. But we've got to prepare for the next play, though. That's the thing, we just can't return. Most souls will just return, but not for us. You've got to return, but prepare as well. And you don't prepare the next play just for yourself. You've got to prepare it for all the souls, he says. Huh? So all the four scenes, the golden, the silver, the copper, and the iron scenes. We got to. It's like finishing, returning, and preparing. And all through the one who is our deepest, deepest companion. You know, for us, we've had many fathers, mothers, friends, companions alike, but for the ancestor souls, for the old souls, God is the mother, the father, the friend, the guide, the teacher. And if I go deep into this awareness and deep into this experience, then the soul certainly gets self-respect. And also, when you have self-respect, this is when this caring will come also for others too. If you don't have much respect for yourself, that caring won't be for others. You think, you know, take, you know, what to take, what I need to take. I judge, I criticize. There won't be the caring there. Self-respect, this feeling of completeness, creates this care for others, this generosity for others. And angels are, that's, their heart is totally generous, because their heart belongs to God. And to people. Belongs also to people, to souls, because they're here. Brahma Baba is serving souls, otherwise he could have gone back. He didn't go back to Paramdham, did he, Brahma Baba? He's serving. Because always the measure and the depth and the reality of my relationship with God is always measured by how generous the soul is, how inclusive the soul is, how caring the soul is for others. It embraces the tree as God embraces the tree of humanity. Better ask, otherwise I just keep going. Yeah. How was my experience of self-respect through... How has it evolved through the years of Gyan? Continuously, sometimes easy, sometimes very difficult. And what I found always for me personally was always I trusted God's love for me. Although sometimes I may not have had the feeling, you know, worthy, sometimes, you know, not so worthy, or... You feel your intellect sometimes closes, you know, and you're stuck in a scene, or you're stuck in a karmic account, or you're stuck in the things. But the thing, because logic doesn't take you out of this. Baba says you're a soul, you have self-respect. Says, yeah, yeah, okay, fine. I'm a soul. I'm this. Yeah, but it doesn't move you. It can happen, huh? Has it ever happened to you? But what I personally found, the thing that always helped me very much, was I can trust God's love for me. You know, I always trusted that. And then love that trust, oh, I was fine, made me very patient. Very, very patient. And with that patience, then I could see a little bit better. Things were not so bad. Things pass. And you notice what I learned from drama is things come, things go. Things depart, things return. Yeah? I just have to remain, you know, stable. But even stability sometimes is difficult. But then trust. I think trust is a very important part of relationship. And of course, especially with Baba. Because sometimes I didn't know how, what was happening, where we're going. No idea. Okay. Just trust. And then things start to open. You know, it's like you get a perspective. You know, like you can't, part of you starts to stand back. And patience, because you're willing to wait. Maybe you don't get the solution straight away, or the method is not clear. But patience comes from that deep trust. Service also helped a lot, because sometimes rather than getting lost in yourself, it's good to move out and do things, and doing those things also empowers, huh? Otherwise you can get a bit lost in one's own wasteful feelings. Grow some potatoes or something, peel some, you know, something. Get out of, move out of the self. Don't hibernate in the old sanskaras. And that's why it's good to have good company, because sometimes if you have good company, you don't actually have to discuss even the problem sometimes. Sometimes you can, and it helps, but sometimes you don't have to. It's just good company is there, and that, you know, lightens you. Spiritual friendship is very important on the path also. Now, yoga is a process, something's happening. Seed stage is just that experience of completeness. You know, volcanic yoga is the soul and God connecting. And then there's a cleansing and a purifying. Yes, I have to be seed in the terms I'm very concentrated. But as the impurities are taken out, then the soul becomes more complete. I mean, you can call that this, but the seed stage itself is that stage of completeness. Yeah, it can be the result, yes. But yoga is a movement. It's a flow. How do you know if you're involved in volcanic yoga? Feel hot? Actually, you know if you feel cool. That's when you know if you're having volcanic yoga. If you're hot, there's not volcanic yoga. Something's going wrong. But when you're really having volcanic yoga, you see and you feel a change. And you see it in your way of thinking, and you're behaving differently. You see that change, that kind of a shift happens. And also a lightness. When there's a very deep volcanic yoga, you know, things that seem so important, a lot of emotional baggage is thrown away. And what you regard as sometimes as so important and so necessary, when you're lighter, you're like, okay, you know, it's not a big deal actually. They didn't give me any tolly or the whatever, you know, I mean, not a big deal anymore. Or they gave me a burnt one or something, you know, it's not a big deal. Because they didn't like me. You know, if you're heavy, you make, you know, a heavy, you know, a soul that is heavy always has this imagination. And you know, it grows and grows. They did this to me, they rejected me because of this. When you have volcanic yoga, those feelings go. Even if someone does reject you, does not bother you. Plus, you don't have a bad feeling for them. Volcanic yoga means there's no bad feelings. For yourself also, there's no bad feeling. Yes, a change in attitude. Change in behavior, change in, attitude, what you're really prioritizing. Gyan, what is gyan? I've never heard volcanic gyan. That's a new one for me. Volcanic yoga, yes. Volcanic gyan? We can add it if you like. Volcanic gyan, what comes to mind is, you know, unrelenting dharana. You're putting yoga into practice immediately, you know. What is, you could say it like that, but I don't know about it. Well, that I would think it would be that, if it exists. Okay. Yes, one more. Yes, that's right. Baba didn't go into it so much, That the angelic stage. Baba didn't talk about it so much in these forms. He did mention it, but not that so deeply. Because we really have to get to that point, you know, of being with Baba and really feeling that being that seed again. And then the great miracle, I think Baba's telling us, was the great miracle of this confluence time. That God Himself is filling the soul with purity. His purity, and then helping us to emerge our own purity by changing our thoughts, changing our behavior patterns. So the miracle of Sangam, he was really concentrating on it. And two, what? To appreciate the self. He's trying to make this appreciate yourself, who you've come to, where you are, and the time. And like you're saying, you are much stronger than any Maya. You are much stronger. That's what he was. You know yourself. Know yourself. Don't go to sleep. Meditation. None of what Baba says is the result of remember me. And remembering the Father is not, I never think of the rays coming or things like this. Yes, thinking of Baba is a point, but that's not the main thing of remembrance. The main thing of remembrance means relation. And to relate to somebody authentically, and in a very genuine, that God, you go actually, you research it a bit. If we don't churn deeply the qualities of Baba and the roles or relationships he has with us, then we're not going to have very strong remembrance. And what happens is sometimes soul just fall on this very routine method, point of light and rays coming out, and maybe hitting me and waking me up. You know, it's a little bit deeper than that. A little. But I've got to give time. I've got to research it. I mean, this is what this soul has done, you know? Once I was thinking, the motherhood of God. You know, I never thought about it that much. And what are the qualities of the divine feminine? You know, what are they? Or even the divine masculine with Baba as the father, you know? Friend. You know, that's how you remember. You've got to make a personal research, and then the remembrance goes very deep. And the soul then, it gets a lot of power, it gets a lot of sustenance, because his experiences let's say, the love of the mother, the love of the father, the love of the friend, which all are a little bit different in their way. But when the soul gets that experience and gets that sustenance, then it will have the power, it will have the ability to have dharana, you know, to make the changes that are necessary. Because remembrance and the deep experience of remembrance are very transformative and very motivational. Experience is motivational and transformative. And knowledge is necessary, but the knowledge one, it has to be used. We just sometimes let it sit. And so, you know, after a while people get bored, you know. I'm a point, you're a point, you know. He's a point, they're the point. They're points. What's the point? Yes. After a while it's like that. I'm not having any yoga, what's the point? It's true. So, you know, to love learning and finding newness and new things. This is the basis of it's a basis of creative remembrance. It's a basis of real remembrance. It's not flat. Flat is that we just stay with the teaching and don't make our own research. This last one. Which one is the last one? Yes? Lack of luck. Ah, yes. Yes, the question is, it's a good question, how lack of renunciation prevents or hinders connection with the Supreme Soul. Very simply, if I don't let go of certain things, there's simply no space for God. There is no space. You know, if I don't let go, or if at least I'm not willing to let go, because sometimes I may not be able to let go, but I should be willing. I'm willing to let go of an attachment to a way of thinking, a comfort zone. Of course, I have to recognize that it is. You know, if you don't recognize, of course, you're not going to let go. You're not going to renounce. But if I see that something keeps repeating itself, something negative, something wasteful, keeps repeating itself in my mind, in my life, in my relationships, then that's where I need to sit with myself and see what I have to renounce. Because there must be some block that keeps bringing that. Because it doesn't exist just by itself. But that humility... that humility and also that care for the self. You know, I'm caring for myself. Why do I want a repeating negative happen to keep hammering me? You know, no, it's got to change. And I've got to look. And I may not still see it, but then I connect with Baba and I have that surrender and I say that, yes, I want this, that is what's causing this, is to finish. I want to understand it. You know, so renunciation is the willingness to let go of things, because then actually Baba has the space to come in more. Otherwise, the door's blocked. It's blocked. And so comfort zones. You can tell when you're in, how can you tell when you're in a comfort zone? When you're very critical about something. Doesn't sound like it goes together, but it does. When you're critical about something, when you've got the same complaint about something, the basis of that is a comfort zone. I'm not willing to renounce something. I will complain of what comes. I will criticize something because it's happening again and again, but I don't shift. I'm not letting go of something. I'm not renouncing something. Last one, yes. From the same. But Baba, Baba pointed it out last night. Begin with your original form. You know, begin positive. You know, begin with the original. He pointed it out yesterday, and then he went through them all. Actually, they were all positive. I mean, in the Copper Age, he, you know, was very positive. He didn't talk about searching and suffering and bhakti and this. He just said, your specialities are remembered. Yeah? That's, you know, so it's very... So start like that, you know, go through that. Because that's how it... that's how it goes, actually. In eternity, coming into time, and then these are the... You know, these are the different consciousnesses that happen through time. So that's... I follow time. Om Shanti. The forms, volcanic yoga, whatever you like. Volcanic yoga.